Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. All right, ladies and fine gentlemen. I don't know why I said it so weird. Welcome to day number, type it in the chat, 15 of our Bible in 90 days, where we read the Bible every single day at 2 o'clock, and we finish it in 90 days. Who would have thought that's how long it's going to take? It's been a good time. It's a lot of reading, but it's good, and I'm glad that you guys are joining us and staying tuned and hanging on, even through the book of Leviticus, even through the book of Numbers and the book of Deuteronomy. We are plowing through. We are on Deuteronomy chapter 24, and I think we go today until 34. So we're doing 10 chapters today, 24 to 34. So get your Bible, look at the screen, do whatever you want. Join in. You don't have to go all the way back to day one. You can just join us where we are. But I hope you join this journey with us. It's been really stretching and helping me grow. And it's been fun. It's been fun engaging with you guys in the chat and going live every day. It has been a new challenge, which has been a good challenge. So here we go. Chapter 24, verse 1. Suppose a man marries a woman, but she does not please him. We're just starting right into it. No warning. Suppose a man marries a woman, but she does not please him. Having discovered something wrong with her, he writes a document of divorce. God. Hands it to her and sends her away from his house. When she leaves his house, she is free to marry another man. But if the second husband also turns against her, writing a document of divorce and hands it to her and sends her away, or if he dies, the first husband may not marry her again, for she has been defiled. That would be detestable to the Lord. You must not bring guilt upon the land the Lord your God is giving you as a special possession. A newly married man must not be drafted into the army or be given any other official responsibilities. He must be free to spend 1 year at home bringing happiness to the wife that he has married. I mean, that's cool. It is wrong to take a set of millstones or even just the upper millstone as security for a loan, for the owner uses it to make a living. If anyone kidnaps a fellow Israelite and treats him as a slave or sells him, the kidnapper must die. In this way, you'll purge the evil from among you. In all cases involving serious skin diseases, be careful to follow the instructions of Levitical priests. Obey all the commands I've given them. Remember what the Lord your God did to Miriam as you're coming from Egypt. If you lend anything to your neighbor, do not enter his house to pick up the item he's giving you as security. You must wait outside while he goes in and brings it out to you. If your neighbor is poor and gives you a cloak as a security for a loan, do not keep the cloak overnight. Return the cloak to the owner by sunset so he can stay warm through the night and bless you, and the Lord your God will count you as righteous. Never take advantage of poor and destitute laborers, whether they are fellow Israelites or foreigners living in your towns. You must pay them their wages each day before sunset because they are poor and they are counting on you. If you don't, they might cry out to the Lord against you, and it will be counted against you as sin. Parents must not be put to death for the sins of their children, nor their children for the sins of their parents. Those deserving to die must be put to death for their own crimes. True justice must be given to foreigners living among you and to orphans, and you must never accept a widow's garment as security for her debt. Always remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God redeemed you from your slavery. That is why I've given you this command. When you're harvesting your crops and forget to bring in a bundle of grain from your field, don't go back to go get it. Leave it to foreigners, orphans, and widows. Then the Lord your God will bless you in all you do. When you beat the olives from your olive trees, don't go over the boughs twice. Leave the remaining olives for the foreigners, orphans, and widows. When you gather the grapes in your vineyard, don't glean the vines after they're picked. Leave the remaining grapes for the foreigners, orphans, and widows. Remember that you are slaves in the land of Egypt. That is why I'm giving you this command. Wow, that's powerful. Remember where you came from. Chapter 25. Suppose two people take a dispute to court and the judge declares that one is right and the other is wrong. If the person in the wrong is sentenced to be flogged, the judge must command him to lie down and be beaten in his presence with a number of lashes appropriate to the crime. But never give more than 40 lashes. More than 40 lashes would publicly humiliate your neighbor. You must not muzzle an ox to keep it from eating as it treads out the grain. If two brothers are living together on the same property and one of them dies without a son, his widow may not be married to anyone from outside the family. Instead, her husband's brother should marry her and have intercourse with her to fulfill the duties of a brother-in-law. The first son she bears to him will be considered the son of the dead brother, so that his name will not be forgotten in Israel. But if the man refuses to marry his brother's widow, she must go to the town gate and say to the elders assembled there, "My husband's brother refuses to preserve his brother's name in Israel, and he refuses to fulfill the duties of a brother-in-law by marrying me. The elders of the town will then summon him and talk with him. If he still refuses and says, I don't want to marry her, the widow must walk over to him in the presence of the elders, pull his sandal from his foot, and spit in his face. Okay. Then she must declare, this is what happens to a man who refuses to provide his brother with children. Ever afterward in Israel, his family will be referred to as the family of the man whose sandal was pulled off. All right. If two Israelite men get into a fight and the wife of one tries to rescue her husband by grabbing the testicles of the other man. Did I read that right? If two Israelite men get into a fight and the wife of one tries to rescue her husband by grabbing the testicles of the other man, you must cut off her hand and show no pity. Oddly specific. You must use accurate scales when weighing out merchandise. We literally go from chopping off her hand to using accurate scales. His ways are not our ways, ladies and gentlemen. And you must use, fulfill, and honest measures. Yes, always use honest weights and measures so that you may enjoy a long life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. All who cheat with dishonest weights and measure are detestable to the Lord your God. Never forget what the Amalekites did to you as you came from Egypt. They attacked you when you were exhausted and weary, and they struck down those who were straggling behind. They had no fear of God. Therefore, when the Lord your God has given you rest from all your enemies and the land that he is giving you as a special possession, you must destroy the Amalekites and erase their memory from under heaven. Never forget this. Chapter 26. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you as a special possession and you've conquered it and settled there, put some of the first produce from each crop you harvest into a basket and bring it to the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored. Go to the priest in charge at the time and say to him, with this gift, I acknowledge the Lord your God that I have entered the land and swore to your ancestors he would give us. The priest will then take the basket from your hand and set it before the altar to the Lord your God. You must then say in the presence of the Lord your God, my ancestor Jacob was a wandering Aramean who went to live as a foreigner in Egypt. His family arrived a few in number, but in Egypt they became a large and mighty nation. When the Egyptians oppressed and humiliated us by making us their slaves, we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. He heard our cries and saw our hardship, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a strong hand and a powerful arm, with overwhelming terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to the place and gave us this land flowing with milk and honey. And now, O Lord, I've brought you the first portion of the harvest you've given me from the ground. Then place the produce before the Lord your God and bow to the ground and worship before him. Afterward, you may go and celebrate because all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. Remember to include the Levites and the foreigners living among you in the celebration. Every third year, you must offer a special tithe of your crops. And this year, the special tithe must give your tithes to the Levites, foreigners, orphans, and widows, so that they will have enough to eat in your own towns. Then you must declare in the presence of the Lord your God, I have taken the sacred gift from the house and have given it to the Levites, foreigners, orphans, and widows, just as you commanded me. I have not violated or forgotten any of your commands. I have not eaten any of it while in mourning. I have not handled it while ceremonially unclean, and I have not offered any of it to the dead. I have obeyed the Lord my God and have done everything you commanded me. Now look down from your holy dwelling place in heaven and bless your people Israel and the land you swore to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Today, the Lord your God has commanded you to obey all these decrees and regulations, so be careful to obey them wholeheartedly. You have declared today that the Lord is your God, and you have promised to walk in his ways and to obey his decrees, commands, and regulations, and do everything he tells you. The Lord has declared today that you are his people, his own special treasure, just as he promised, and that you must obey all his commands. And if you do, he will set you high above all the other nations he has made. Then you'll receive praise, honor, and renown. You'll be a nation that is holy to the Lord your God, just as he promised. Chapter 24. The Altar on Mount Ebal. Then Moses and the leaders of Israel gave this charge to the people. Obey all these commands that I'm giving to you today. When you cross the Jordan River and enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, set up some large stones and coat them with plaster. Write this whole body of instruction on them when you cross the river to enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. When you cross the Jordan, set up these stones at Mount Ebal and coat them with plaster as I'm commanding you today. Then build an altar to the Lord your God using natural uncut stones. You must not shape the stones with an iron tool. Build the altar of uncut stones and use it to offer burnt offerings to the Lord. Also sacrifice peace offerings on it and celebrate by feasting there before the Lord your God. You must clearly write all these instructions on the stones coated with plaster. Then Moses and the Levitical priests addressed all Israel as follows. O Israel, be quiet and listen. Today you've become the people of the Lord your God. So you must obey the Lord your God by keeping all these commands and decrees that I'm giving you today. The same day Moses also gave this charge to the people. When you cross the Jordan River, the tribes of Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin must stand on Mount Gerizim to proclaim a blessing over the people. And the tribes of Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali must stand on Mount Ebal to proclaim a curse. Then the Levites will shout to the people, "Cursed is anyone who carves or casts an idol and secretly sets it up. These idols, the work of craftsmen, are detestable to the Lord." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who dishonors his father or mother," and all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who steals property from a neighbor by moving a boundary marker," and all the people will reply, type it in the chat, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who leads a blind person astray on the road." That's so random. And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who denies justice to foreigners, orphans, and widows," and all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who has sexual intercourse with one of his father's wives, for he has violated his father." And all the people will reply, type it in the chat, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who has sexual intercourse with an animal." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who has sexual intercourse with his sister, whether this is his daughter of his father or his mother." And the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who has sexual intercourse with his mother-in-law." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who attacks a neighbor in secret." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who accepts payment to kill an innocent person." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who does not affirm and obey the terms of these instructions." And all the people, drum roll, will reply, "Amen." Chapter 28, blessings for obedience. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You'll experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and bread boards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be blessed. What's that song? I'm blessed. Okay. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people as he swore he would do. Then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. The Lord will give you a prosperity in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you, blessing you with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. Then the Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in heaven and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you'll never need to borrow from them. Preach it, brother. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, and if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You'll always be on top and never at the bottom. You must not turn away from any of the commands I'm giving you today, nor follow any other gods and worship them. But if you refuse to, we're going to get into some curses here. But if you refuse to listen to the Lord and do not obey all the commands I'm giving you, these curses will come and overwhelm you. Your towns and your fields will be cursed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be cursed. Your children and crops will be cursed. Your offspring and herds and flocks will be cursed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be cursed. Curses for you, curses for you. Obey the Lord, guys. The Lord himself will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration in everything you do until at last you're completely destroyed for doing evil and abandoning me. What if this was actually happening to us today? We are confused and frustrated because we were doing evil and abandoning the Lord. Just a thought. The Lord will afflict you with the disease until none of you are left in the land you're about to enter and occupy. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, fever, and inflammation, with scorching heat and drought, and with blight and mildew. These disasters will pursue you until you die. The skies above will be as unyielding as bronze, and the earth beneath will be as hard as iron. Wow. The Lord will strike you with diseases, fever, and inflammation. That's wow. The Lord will change the rain that falls in your land into powder, and dust will pour down from the sky until you're destroyed. Wow. The Lord will cause you to be defeated by your enemies. You'll attack your enemies from one direction, but you'll be scattered from them in seven. You'll be an object of horror to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your corpses will be food for all the scavenging birds and wild animals, and no one will be there to chase them away. The Lord will afflict you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors, scurvy and the itch. You do not want that. You don't want scurvy, but add the itch? No, you do not want the itch, from which you cannot be cured. The Lord will strike you with madness, blindness, and panic. You will grope around in the broad daylight like a blind person groping in the darkness, but you will not find your way. You'll be oppressed and robbed continually, and no one will come to save you. You'll be engaged to a woman, but another man will sleep with her. Ugh. You'll build a house, but someone will live in it. Someone else will live in it. You'll plant a vineyard, but you'll never enjoy its fruit. Your ox will be butchered right before your eyes, but you'll not eat a single bite of the meat. Your donkey will be taken from you, never to be returned, and your sheep and goats will be given to your enemies, and no one will be there to help you. You will watch as your sons and daughters are taken away as slaves. Your heart will break for them, but you won't be able to help them. This is like the worst possible thing to ever happen is happening. A foreign nation you've never heard about will eat the crops you work so hard to grow, and you'll suffer under constant oppression and harsh treatment. You'll go mad because all the tragedy you see around you. The Lord will cover your knees and legs with incurable boils. In fact, you'll be covered from head to foot. The Lord will exile you and your kingdom to nations unknown to you and your ancestors. There in exile, you'll worship gods of wood and stone. So guys, don't worship idols. This is what happens to you if you worship idols. You'll become an object of horror, ridicule, and mockery among the nations to which the Lord sends you. You'll plant much, but you'll harvest little, for locusts will eat your crops. You'll plant vineyards and care for them, but you'll not drink the wine or eat the grapes, for a worm will destroy the vines. You'll grow olive trees throughout your land, but you'll never use the olive oil, for the fruit will drop before it ripens. You'll have sons and daughters, but you'll lose them, for they'll be led into captivity. Swarms of insects will destroy your trees and crops. The foreigners living among you will become stronger and stronger, while you become weaker and weaker. Wow. They will lend money to you, but you'll not lend to them. They will not be head, and you. They will be the head, and you will be the tail. If you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and obey his commands and decrees, all these curses will pursue and overtake you until you're destroyed. These horrors will serve as a sign and a warning among you and your descendants forever. If you do not serve the Lord your God with joy and enthusiasm, if you do not serve the Lord your God with joy and enthusiasm for the abundant benefits you've received, you'll serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you. Enthusiasm, I like that. Preach that, brother. You'll be left hungry, thirsty, naked, and lacking in everything. The Lord will put an iron yoke on your neck, oppressing you harshly until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a distant nation against you from the end of the earth, and it'll swoop down on you like a vulture. It's a nation whose language you do not understand. A fierce and heartless nation that shows no respect for the old and no pity for the young. Its armies will devour your livestock and crops, and you'll be destroyed. They'll leave you no grain, new wine, olive oil, calves, or lambs, and you'll starve to death. They'll attack your cities until all the fortified walls in your land, the walls you trusted to protect you, are knocked down. They'll attack all the towns in the land the Lord your God has given you. The siege and terrible distress of the enemy's attack will be so severe that you'll eat the flesh of your own sons and daughters whom the Lord your God has given you. Eek. The most tender-hearted man among you will have no compassion for his own brother, his beloved wife, and his surviving children. He will refuse to share with them the flesh he is devouring, the flesh of the one of his own children, because he has nothing else to eat during the siege and terrible distress that your enemy will inflict on all your towns. The most tender and delicate women among you, so delicate she would not so much as touch the ground with her foot, will be selfish towards her husband she loves and towards her own sons and daughters. This is a long chapter. She'll hide from them the afterbirth and the new baby she has born, so that she herself can secretly eat them. What? Sweet Lanta. She will have nothing else to eat during the siege and terrible distress that your enemy will inflict on her town, on your towns. If you refuse to obey all the words of instructions that are written in this book, and if you do not fear the glorious and awesome name of the Lord your God, then the Lord will overwhelm you and your children with indescribable plagues. These plagues will be intense and without relief, making you miserable and unbearably sick. He'll afflict you with all the diseases of Egypt that you feared so much, and you'll have no relief. The Lord will afflict you with every kind of sickness and plague there is, even those not mentioned in the book of this instruction, until you're destroyed. Though you've become as numerous as the stars in the sky, few of you will be left because you will not listen to the Lord your God. Just as the Lord has found great pleasure in causing you to prosper and multiply, the Lord will find pleasure in destroying you. You'll be torn from the land you're about to enter and occupy. For the Lord your God will scatter you among all the nations from one ends of the earth to the other. There you'll worship foreign gods that neither know that you nor your ancestors have known, gods made of wood and stone. There among you, nations will find no peace or place of rest, and the Lord will cause your heart to tremble, your eyesight to fail, and your soul to despair. Your life will be constantly hanging in the balance, and you'll live day and night in fear, unsure if you'll survive. In the morning, you'll say, if only it were night, and in the evening, you'll say, if only it were morning, for you'll be terrified by the awful horrors you'll see around you. Then the Lord will send you back to Egypt in ships, to a destination I promised you'd never see again. There you will offer to sell yourselves to your enemies as slaves, but no one will buy you. Wow. It's crazy because you're like, I'm listening. I would never do any of these things because I don't want that to happen. Yet we all know that our sin can lead us to hell, and we do that every day. And hell is way worse than all the stuff being described. Chapter 29. These are the terms of the covenant the Lord God commanded Moses to make with the Israelites while they're in the land of Moab, in addition to the covenant he made with them at Mount Sinai. All right, we're going to review the covenant here. Moses summoned all the Israelites and said to them, "You have seen with your own eyes everything the Lord did in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to the whole country, and all the great tests of strength, the miraculous signs, and the amazing wonders. But to this day, the Lord God has not given you the minds that understand, nor ears that see, nor ears that hear. For 40 years I led you through the wilderness, yet your clothes and sandals did not wear out. You ate no bread and drank no wine or other alcoholic drink, but he provided for you, so you know that he is the Lord your God. When we came here, King Sihon of Heshbon and King Og of Bashan came out to fight against us, but we defeated them. We took their land and gave it to the tribes of Reuben and Gad and to the half-tribe of Manasseh as their grants of land. Therefore, obey the terms of this covenant so that you'll prosper in everything you do. All of you tribal leaders, elders, officers, all the men of Israel are standing today in the presence of the Lord your God. Your little ones and your wives are with you, as well as the foreigners living among you who chop your wood and carry your water. You're standing here today to enter the covenant of the Lord your God. The Lord is making a covenant, including the curses. By entering into the covenant today, he'll establish you as his people and confirm that he is your God, just as he promised you and he swore to your ancestors Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But you're not the only ones who I'm making this covenant with. It's curses. Covenant with its curses. I'm making this covenant both with you and you who stand here today in the presence of the Lord our God, and also with the future generations who are not standing here today. You remember how we lived in the land of Egypt and how we traveled through the lands of enemy nations as we left. You've seen their detestable practices and their idols made of wood, stone, silver, and gold. I'm making this covenant with you so that no one among you, no man, woman, clan, or tribe, will return from the Lord our God to worship the gods of other nations, and so that no root among you of bitterness and poisonous fruit. Those who hear the warnings of this curse should not congratulate themselves, thinking, I'm safe, even though I'm following the desires of my own stubborn heart. This would lead them to utter ruin. The Lord will never pardon such people. Instead, his anger and jealousy will burn against them. All the curses written in this book will come down on them, and the Lord will erase their names from under heaven. The Lord will separate them from all the tribes of Israel to pour out to them all the curses of the covenant recorded in the book of instruction. Then the generations to come, both your own descendants and the foreigners who come from distant lands, will see the devastation of the land and the diseases the Lord inflicts on it. They will exclaim, the whole land is devastated by sulfur and salt. It's a wasteland with nothing planted and nothing growing and not even a blade of grass. It's like the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord destroyed with his intense anger. And all the surrounding nations will ask, why has the Lord done this to this land? Why was he so angry? And the answer will be, this happened because the people of the land abandoned the covenant that the Lord, the God of their ancestors made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Instead, they turned to serve and worship gods that they had not known before, gods that were not from the Lord. That is why the Lord's anger has burned against this land, bringing down on it every curse recorded in this book. In great anger, the fury of the Lord uprooted his people from their land and banished them to another land where they still live today. The Lord our God has secrets not known to no one. We are not accountable for them, but we and our children are accountable forever for all that he has revealed to us, so that we may obey all the terms and these instructions. Chapter 30, A Call to Return to the Lord. In the future, when you experience all these blessings and curses I've listed for you, and when you're living among the nations which the Lord your God has exiled you, take heart with all these instructions. If that time you and your children return to the Lord your God, and if you obey with all your heart and all your soul all the commands I've given you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes. He'll have mercy on you and gather you back from all the nations where he has scattered you. Even though you're banished to the ends of the earth, the Lord your God will gather you from there and bring you back. The Lord your God will return you to the land that belonged to your ancestors, and you'll possess that land again. Then he will make you even more prosperous and numerous than your ancestors. The Lord your God will change your heart and the hearts of all your descendants, so that you will love him with all your heart and soul, and you may live. The Lord your God will inflict all these curses on your enemies and those who hate and persecute you. Then you'll again obey the Lord and keep all his commands I'm giving you today. The Lord your God will make you successful in everything you do. He'll give you many children as numerous livestock, and he'll cause your fields to produce abundant harvest. For the Lord will again delight in being good to you as he was to your ancestors. The Lord your God will delight in you if you obey his voice and keep the commands and decrees written in this book of instruction, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. This command I'm giving you today. All right, let's see how long I can go without making an error. All right, verse 11, here we go. I can do this. This command I'm giving you today is not too difficult for you, and it's not beyond your reach. It is not kept in heaven, so distant that you might ask, who will go up to heaven and bring it down so we can hear and obey? It is not kept beyond the sea, so far away that you must ask, who will cross the sea to bring it to us so we can hear and obey? No, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. Now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you'll live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you're about to enter and occupy. All right, so far so good. No errors yet. See, if I focus, I could really do this, y'all. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you're drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you'll certainly be destroyed. You'll not live a long, good life in the land you're crossing the Jordan to occupy. Oh, I almost messed up right there. Today, I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessing and... It's blessings. Between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you'll live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Chapter 31. When Moses had finished giving these instructions to all the people of Israel, he said, I am now 120 years old, and I'm no longer able to lead you. The Lord has told me, you will not cross the Jordan River, but the Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy the nations living there, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua will lead you across the river, just as the Lord promised. The Lord will destroy the nations living in the land, just as he destroyed Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites. The Lord will hand over to you the people who live there, and you must deal with them as I've commanded you. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Then Moses called for Joshua and all of Israel watch, and he said to him, be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people in the land that the Lord has sworn to your ancestors he would give them. You are the one who will divide it among them as their grants of land. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He'll be with you, and he'll neither fail nor abandon you. So Moses wrote this entire body of instruction in a book and gave it to the priests who carried the Ark of the Lord's covenant and to the elders of Israel. Then Moses gave them this command. At the end of every seventh year, the year of release, during the Festival of Shelters, you must read this book of instruction to all the people of Israel when they assemble before the Lord your God at the palace he chooses, the place. Call them all together, men, women, children, and the foreigners living in your towns, so they may hear this book of instruction and learn the fear of the Lord your God and carefully obey all the terms of these instructions. Do this so that your children who have not known these instructions will hear them and will learn to fear the Lord your God. Do this as long as you live in the land you're crossing the Jordan to occupy. Then the Lord said to Moses, the time has come for you to die. Call Joshua and present yourselves at the tabernacle so that I may commission him there. So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves at the tabernacle, and the Lord appeared to them in a pillar of cloud that stood at the entrance of the sacred tent. The Lord said to Moses, you're about to die and join your ancestors. After you're gone, these people will begin to worship foreign gods, the gods of the lands where they are going. They will abandon me and break my covenant that I've made with them. Then my anger will blaze forth against them, and I'll abandon them, hiding my face from them, and they'll be devoured. Terrible trouble will come down on them, and on that day they'll say, these disasters have come down on us because God is no longer among us. At that time, I'll hide my face from them on account of all the evil they've committed by worshiping other gods. So write down the words of this song and teach it to the people of Israel. Help them learn it so it may serve as a witness for me against them. For I'll bring them in the land I swore to give their ancestors, a land flowing with milk and honey. They will become prosperous and eat all the food they want and become fat. So basically, they'll become American. They will begin to worship other gods, they'll despise me and break my covenants. And when great disaster comes down on them, this song will stand as evidence against them, for it'll never be forgotten by their descendants. I know the intentions of these people, even now before they enter the land I swore to give them. So that very day, Moses wrote down the words of the song and taught it to the Israelites. Then the Lord commissioned Joshua, son of Nun, with these words, be strong and courageous, for you must bring the people of Israel into the land I swore to give them. I will be with you. When Moses had finished writing this entire body of instruction in a book, he gave this command to the Levites who carried the Ark of the Lord's covenant. Take this book of instruction and place it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, so it may remain there as a witness against the people of Israel. For I know how rebellious and stubborn you are. Even now, while I'm still alive, I'm here and here with you, you've rebelled against me, against the Lord. How much more rebellious will you be after my death? Now summon all the elders and officials of your tribes so I can speak to them directly and call on heaven and earth to witness against them. I know that after my death, you'll become utterly corrupt and will turn from the way I commanded you to follow. In the days to come, disaster will come down on you, for you will do what is evil in the Lord's sight, making him very angry with your actions. All right, chapter 32, who wants to sing this? The Song of Moses. So Moses recited the song publicly to the assembly of Israel. Listen, O heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words that I say. Should I sing this, guys? Let me know. Type one in the chat if you want me to sing this. I'm just kidding. I'm not singing it. Let my teaching fall on you like rain. Let my speech settle like dew. Let my words fall like rain on tender grass, like gentle showers in young plants. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord. How glorious is our God. He is the rock. His deeds are perfect. Everything he does is just and fair. He is faithful God who does no wrong. How just and upright he is. But they have acted corruptly toward him. They have acted so perversely. Are they really his children? They are deceitful and a twisted generation. Is this the way you repay the Lord, you foolish and senseless people? Isn't your father who created you? He has not made you and established you. Remember the days of long ago. Think about the generations past. Ask your father and he'll inform you. Inquire of your elders and they will tell you. When the Most High assigned lands to the nations, when he divided up the human race, he established the boundaries of the peoples according to the numbers in his heavenly court. For the people of Israel belong to the Lord. Jacob is a special possession. He found them in a desert, in an empty, howling wasteland. He surrounded them and watched over them. He guarded them as he would guard his own eyes. Like an eagle that rouses her chicks and hovers over her young, so he spread his wings to take them up and carried them safely on his pinions. The Lord alone guided them. They followed no foreign gods, and he let them ride over the highlands and feast on the crops of the fields. He nourished them with honey from the rock and olive oil from the stony ground. Is that song like honey from the rock? Okay. He fed them yogurt from the herd. I've been eating yogurt every day. He fed them yogurt from the herd and milk from the flock. Together with the fat of lambs, he gave them the choice rams from Bashan and goats together with the choicest wheat. You drank the finest wine made from the juice of grapes. But Israel soon became fat and unruly. The people grew heavy, plump, and stuffed. Then they abandoned the God who made them. They made light of the rock of their salvation. They stirred up his jealousy by worshiping foreign gods. They provoked his fury with detestable deeds. They offered sacrifices to demons, which are not God, to the gods not known before, to new gods only recently arrived, to the gods of their ancestors had never feared. You neglected the rock who had fathered you. You forgot the God who has given you birth. The Lord saw this and drew back. Provoked to anger by his own sons and daughters, he said, I will abandon them. Then see what becomes of them. For they are a twisted generation, children without integrity. They have roused my jealousy by worshiping things that are not God. They have provoked my anger with their useless idols, and now I will rouse their jealousy, though people who are not even a people. I will provoke their anger through the foolish Gentiles, for my anger blazes forth like fire, and it burns to the depths of the grave. It devours the earth and all its crops and ignites the foundations of the mountains. I will heap disasters upon them and shoot down with my arrows. I will weaken them with famine, burning fever, and deadly disease. I will send the fangs of the wild beasts and the poisonous snakes that glide in the dust. Outside the sword, this is a long song. Outside the sword will bring death, and inside terror will strike. Both young men and young women, both infants and the aged, I will have annihilated them, wiping out the memory of them. But I feared the taunt of Israel's enemies, who might misunderstand and say, our own power has triumphed. The Lord has nothing to do with this. But Israel is a senseless nation. The people are foolish without understanding. Oh, that they were wise and could understand this, and oh, that they might know their fate. How could one person chase 1,000 of them, and two people put 10,000 to flight, unless the rock has sold them, unless the Lord has given them up? But the rock of our enemies is not like our rock, as they recognize. Their vine grows from the vine of Sodom, from the vineyards of Gomorrah. Their grapes are poisonous, and their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the venom of serpents, the deadly poison of cobras. The Lord says, I'm not storing up these things, stealing them away in my treasury. I will take revenge. I will pay them back. In due time, their feet will slip. Their day of disaster will arrive and their destiny will overtake them. Indeed, the Lord will give justice to his people and he'll change his mind about his servants. When he sees their strength is gone and no one is left, slave or free, then he will ask, where are their gods? The rocks, they fled for refuge. Where now are those gods who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their offerings? Let those gods arise and help you. Let them provide you with shelter. Look, now I myself am he. There is no other God but me. I'm the one who kills and gives life. I'm the one who wounds and heals. No one can be rescued from my powerful hand. Now I raise my hand to heaven and I declare, as surely as I live, when I sharpen my flashing sword and begin to carry out justice, I will take revenge on my enemies and repay those who reject me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood and my sword will devour flesh, the blood of the slaughtered and the captives and the heads of the enemy leaders. Rejoice with him, you heavens, and let all of God's angels worship him. Rejoice with his people, you Gentiles, and let all the angels be strengthened in him. For he will avenge the blood of his children. He will take revenge against his enemies. He'll repay those who hate him and cleanse his people's land. So Moses came with Joshua, son of Nun, and recited all the words of the song to the people. When Moses had finished reciting all these words to the people of Israel, he added, "Take heart to all the words of warning I've given you today. Pass them on as a command to your children so they'll obey every word of these instructions. These instructions are not empty words. They are your life. By obeying them, you'll enjoy a long life in the land you'll occupy when you cross the Jordan River." The same day the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Moab, to the mountains east of the river, and climb to Mount Nebo, which is across from Jericho. Look out across the land of Canaan, the land I'm giving to the people of Israel as their own special possession. Then you will die there on the mountain. You'll join your ancestors just as Aaron, your brother, died on Mount Hor and joined his ancestors. For both of you betrayed me with the Israelites at the waters of Meribah at Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. You failed to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel there. So you'll see the land from a distance." Ooh, that's brutal. "You'll see the land from a distance, but you may not enter the land I'm giving to the people of Israel." Imagine living your whole life learning about the land, talking about the land, looking for the land, and then you never get to enter it. That's so sad. Oh, wait, why did I say Deuteronomy 23 to 33? 34. I'm tripping. I got two more chapters. Did I read this wrong? Let me just double check this on my little Bible here. Bible app. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And tomorrow we have 14 chapters. Okay. Here we go. Chapter 33. This is the blessing that Moses, the man of God, gave to the people of Israel before his death. The Lord came from Mount Sinai and dawned upon us from Mount Sur. He shone forth from Mount Paran and came from Meribah Kadesh with flaming fires at his right hand. Indeed, he loves his people. All his holy ones are in his hands. They follow in his steps and accept his teaching. Moses gave us the Lord's instruction, the special possession of the people of Israel. The Lord became king in Israel when the leaders of the people assembled, when the tribes of Israel gathered as one. Moses said this about the tribe of Reuben. Let the tribe of Reuben live and not die out, though they are few in number. Moses said this about the tribe of Judah. O Lord, hear the cry of Judah and bring them together as a people. Give them strength to defend their cause and help them against their enemies. Moses said this about the tribe of Levi. O Lord, you have given your Thummim and Urim, the sacred lots, to your faithful servants, the Levites. You put them to test at Massa and struggle with them at the waters of Meribah. The Levites obeyed your word and guarded your covenant. They were more loyal to you than their own parents. They ignored their relatives and did not acknowledge their own children. They teach your regulations to Jacob. They give your instructions to Israel. They present incense before you and offer burnt offerings on the altar. Bless the ministry of the Levites, O Lord, and accept all the work of their hands. Hit their enemies where it hurts the most and strike down their foes so they never rise again. Moses said this about the tribe of Benjamin. The people of Benjamin are loved by the Lord and live in safety beside him. He surrounds them continuously and preserves them from every harm. Moses said this about the tribes of Joseph. May their land be blessed by the Lord, the precious gift of the dew from heavens and water from beneath the earth, with the rich fruit that grows in the sun and the rich harvest produced each month, with the finest crops of the ancient mountains and the abundance from everlasting hills, with the best gifts of the earth and its bounty and the favor of the one who appeared in the burning bush. May these blessings rest on Joseph's head, crowning the brow of the prince among his brothers. Joseph has the majesty of a young bull. He has the horns of a wild ox. He will gore distant nations, given to the ends of the earth. This is my blessing for the multitudes of Ephraim and the thousands of Manasseh. Moses said this about the tribes of Zebulun and Issachar. May the people of Zebulun prosper in their travels. May the people of Issachar prosper at home in their tents. They summon the people to the mountain and offer proper sacrifices there. They benefit from the riches of the sea and hidden treasures in the sand. Moses said this about the tribe of Gad. Blessed is the one who enlarges Gad's territory. Gad is poised there like a lion to tear off an arm or a head. The people of Gad took the best land for themselves. A leader's share was assigned to them. When the leaders of the people were assembled, they carried out the Lord's justice and obeyed his regulations for Israel. Moses said this about the tribes of Dan. Dan is a lion's cub leaping from Bashan. Sorry, Dan. You didn't get much. Moses said this about the tribe of Naphtali. O Naphtali, you're rich in favor and full of the Lord's blessing. May you possess the west and the south. Moses said this about the tribe of Asher. May Asher be blessed above other sons. May he be esteemed by his brothers. May he bathe his feet in olive oil. All right. May the bolts of your gates be of iron and bronze, and may you be secure all your days. There is no one like the Lord. There's no one like the God of Israel. He rides across the heavens to help you, across the skies in majestic splendor. The eternal God is your refuge, and his everlasting arms are under you. He drives out the enemies before you. He cries out, destroy him, so Israel will live in safety. Prosperous Jacob in security, in a land of grain and new wine, while the heavens drop down dew. How blessed you are, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord. He's your protecting shield and your triumphant sword. Your enemies will cringe before you, and you will stomp on their backs. All right, we're right there, guys. Chapter 34, the death of Moses. Then Moses went up on Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab and climbed Pisgah Peak, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead as far as Dan, all the land of Naphtali, the land of Ephraim, Manasseh, the land of Judah, extending to the Mediterranean Sea. The Negev, the Jordan Valley with Jericho, the city palms as far as Zor. Then the Lord said to Moses, this is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, I'll give it to your descendants. I've now allowed you to see it with your own eyes, but you'll not enter the land. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, as the Lord had said. The Lord buried him. Wow, imagine being buried by the Lord. The Lord buried him in a valley near Beth Peor in Moab, and to this day, no one knows the exact place. Moses was 120 when he died, yet his eyesight was clear, and he was as strong as ever. The people of Israel mourned for Moses on the plains of Moab for 30 days until the customary period of mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him, so the people of Israel obeyed him, doing just as the Lord commanded Moses. There has never been another prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. The Lord sent him to perform all the miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his servants and his entire land. With mighty power, Moses performed terrifying acts in the sight of all Israel. Wow. Rest in peace, Moses. We are done, guys. We are done. We did Leviticus. We did Numbers. We did Deuteronomy. And now, tomorrow, we start the book of Joshua. I'm very excited. We're going into a new season here, a new area here in the book of Joshua. I appreciate every single one of you being a part, engaging in the chat, laughing along with me when I put up the bobblehead and all that fun stuff. I love and appreciate you guys. Please pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that on screen. We meet every Thursday at 1 p.m. for prayer. So if you sign up on my website for a monthly partnership of any amount, you'll get a link to that. You'll also get 70 sermons and 20% off the merch store. Also, please support by purchasing the book. Link in the description, How to Cast Out Demons. Stay with us, guys. Don't give up. Keep pressing. We're only on day number 15. We have a long way to go. I'm having so much fun doing this, to be honest. I'm having so much fun doing this. It's just a blessing. It's awesome. And it's been a great time with the community, okay? I'm going to have a great rest of my Saturday. I love you guys all so much. And I will see you guys tomorrow at 2.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram at Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.